Well, there's more churn at the White House, seeing President Donald Trump looking for a new chief of staff. The reports are that the relationship between the incumbent, John Kelly, and his boss has grown very difficult, to the point of the two men not speaking, some say. John Kelly is a retired US Marine Corps general who was brought in to bring order to what's been described as a chaotic White House. The upheaval comes hot on the heels of a sentencing submission from federal prosecutors in Manhattan in the case of the former Trump lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen, who's facing charges as part of the Mueller investigation and who, it has now been revealed, acted at Donald Trump's direction when he committed crimes. Norm Eisen is a former White House ethics advisor under President Obama and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. We spoke earlier. Norm Eisen, what did the disclosures in the sentencing document relating to Michael Cohen say about President Trump?
Well, the disclosures in the Cohen documents, and to some extent also in the sentencing documents for Mr. Manafort, say that President Trump is in additional trouble on three criminal fronts: possible obstruction of justice, collusion, or as it's also known, conspiracy, and perhaps most perilous of all, campaign finance violations, breaking the law on contributions to a campaign. So he's in deeper trouble on all three areas.
Does this mean that prosecutors believe the president committed felonies?
They do seem to believe that the president committed felony crimes. Previously, we'd had Mr. Cohen, the president's longtime lawyer and his fixer, who himself stood up in court and was sponsored by prosecutors when he pled guilty. And he said that he had acted at the direction of individual one, who it's clear is Donald Trump, the then candidate for the United States, in facilitating payoffs to two women to avoid hurting the campaign. And those payments were considered illegal campaign contributions. You're not allowed, because of the hundreds of thousands of dollars involved, you're not allowed to make those expenditures, to facilitate those expenditures. It wasn't disclosed. Now we have the memo for sentencing Mr. Cohen, and the prosecutors write about these events, and they adopt Mr. Cohen's account. They affirmatively state that individual one caused Mr. Cohen to commit campaign finance felonies. So it seems that prosecutors do believe the president has violated the law. That is a very big step forward in President Trump's peril.
What are the chances, though, of a sitting U.S. president being indicted? It's pretty slim, isn't it?
The Department of Justice has taken the position that a president cannot be indicted. So, yes, that is an obstacle, Linda. However, no court has addressed the issue, and the department is very protective of the president. I know that from when I was working in the White House and dealing with them. Sometimes they took positions that I thought bent over backwards too far to protect the prerogatives of the presidency. I believe that if it were tested in a court of law, that the judges might very well reject this departmental interpretation. The problem is that Mr. Mueller, the special counsel, the other prosecutors who are working on this investigation are all bound by that interpretation. So for the moment, it seems that this may need to develop in Congress or after Mr. Trump leaves office, because the statute of limitations on this crime does not expire until perhaps 2021, more likely 2022. And therefore, Mr. Trump could be prosecuted if he only serves one term.
What are the options then? Are there any other options for addressing this legal situation while the president is in office? You've described there that the Justice Department does not believe indictments can be laid, but is there any other way around that?
There are a number of other ways around it, all involving the United States Congress. You could have the House of Representatives conduct hearings on whether the president has violated the law. That can be a basis in the United States for impeachment. The House would have to vote by a majority to impeach the president, and then it would move to the Senate for a trial. And if he were convicted in the Senate, then he could be ousted. The problem is, we hit an obstacle there too, the problem is you need two-thirds of the Senate to convict. You need 67 senators, which would mean a substantial number of Republicans would have to change their behavior of protecting the president. They'd have to turn against him. We'll see how the evidence develops. That seems unlikely. Another option, a more likely one, you could have the House look into it, and they could vote to censure, in essence, to condemn the president and urge that he be prosecuted should he complete his term in office. Another option is prosecutors could name him. They could charge other people criminally and name the president in the complaint. This happened to Nixon as an unindicted co-conspirator. That could also be politically devastating.
Now, we've also had in the Cohen documents details of contacts with Russians that we didn't know about before. What are we learning there?
Well, we're learning that there was another outreach to Cohen, who seems to have been an important point of contact, understandably because he was known as the fixer, by a Russian who claimed to have good relationships at the upper levels of the Russian Federation, who talked about synergies, that's the word that was revealed, between Russia and the Trump campaign. In other words, how can they work together? So it's yet another contact. We've had, by some counts, over 70 contacts that have been revealed between the Trump campaign and Russia. That's staggering. I worked on the Obama campaign, and I can tell you that if we had gotten a single contact from Russia, we would have immediately called the FBI. The Trump campaign was warned to expect Russian overtures, and yet they didn't do it. And when you look at the nature, the mosaic, all the evidence put together, it does seem that Russia extended an offer of help, and there were favorable replies back that help was welcome. And it seems that Russia did take efforts to respond to those signals of favor, because they attacked our election to harm Hillary Clinton and to help Donald Trump. And some scholars in the United States think that the Russian help contributed to or even swung the election. So here's one more piece of evidence on this damning pattern of Russian offer and acceptance of help followed through by this harmful assault on our democracy.
You say a damning pattern, but we're not there yet. Mr. Mueller is still in the process of doing this very prolonged investigation, and he constantly faces threats from the president that that he, the president, would like to sack Mr. Mueller. Now, we've seen a couple of staff changes in the White House. John Kelly, the chief of staff, departing. Don't know who that replacement will be. And we've seen Jeff Sessions, the former attorney general who was sacked, now to be replaced by William Barr. Do either of those staffing issues make any difference to the fate of the Mueller investigation, do you think?
Well, I think they could make a difference. Kelly has been a stabilizing influence in the White House. If he's replaced by an unknown quantity, a hothead who encourages the president's worst tendencies, then that's a danger point. The Barr nomination as to return as attorney general, he served as attorney general once before in the George H.W. Bush administration. The Barr nomination is an interesting one because Attorney General Barr has been one of those who has been critical of the Mueller investigation. He's been also one who has had a history of criticizing special counsels. And so it's hard to know which direction Barr will go. But yes, with every change, the peril is there. The good news is that now with the House of Representatives changing hands and a Democratic majority coming to the House, even if the president shuts down the Mueller investigation, the House of Representatives will just pick it up. They could even offer a job to Bob Mueller. Say, hey, come work for us. Continue what you're doing. So there's no way the president's going to escape from accountability if he tries. That moment has passed.
Norm Eisen, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Linda. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Norm Eisen from the Brookings Institution.